Good Friday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice on Newstalk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning we are on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Mike Dugan. He's a former state senator representing District 30 out of Carrollton, and he wants to be your next congressman representing the 15 county District 3. Been on the program before. I think it was about right after qualifying, you talked to Steve. Right. So now you get to tolerate me for a whole half hour. I appreciate you coming on. Today and Saturday. Yeah, today early voting continues. Saturday early voting continues. If you're in Carroll County, you can do it at the former West Georgia Technical College building. And next week is the final week for early voting, but it's just Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you can do it at the former WGTC or Powell Park in Villarica for our Carroll County listeners. So thank you for tuning in this morning. Any questions or comments for Mike, please feel free to post those on the Newstalk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I'll look at those when we do get a chance. So, Mike, get us to where we are now. Started the year off as a state senator, mm-hmm. and then that changed a short time later. How did we get to this point?
I started off, first of all, I'm on a apologize for this pollen having me kind of sounding funky, and I will.
Plus, all the pollen we have in studio, I understand it's our fault.
Yeah, it's this mold in here, man. Y'all need to talk about this. And also on early voting, I don't know if people know this, but if you early vote, the candidates strike your name from their mail list, so you don't get phone calls, texts, mailers. You don't get them anymore because this saves the candidates money. So if you don't want to get those things anymore, go vote early. So how did we get here? So early January, I was in the this getting ready for the next Senate session. Resigned my seat for a couple different reasons, but primarily I've been there for a while and I've seen people that have tried to do both, run for office and serve in the seat at the same time. And honestly, they did not serve their constituents very well. They were more focused on the next job they wanted rather than the job they were supposed to be doing. So I talked with the governor and we came to the decision, let's go ahead and turn this over to a person that's going to be dedicated to this seat. That's how we got Senator Bearden in that role. And I came out. But I also retired from my day job. So I'd been with Ray Lynn for 16 years. And again, it was one of those where I said, this is not fair to Ray Lynn. If you're running for a congressional seat that takes up all or parts of 15 counties, it's a full-time job. This is not a hobby. This is a job interview that lasts 5 months, and it's my job to get out there and see as many people as I possibly can during that 5 months and get our message out and explain why I'm the most qualified candidate for this seat.
Mike Dugan, our guest on this morning's Community Voice, among the your website information, and Steve Graddick brought in several mailers that have entered his mailbox at his residence. And I see, I get the idea that you're suggesting that I'll do better with the border or know more about the border because I'm an Army Ranger, or I was an Army Ranger. I don't know if you're always an Army Ranger or not, so I'll make sure I say that right. But is that why is that? Why should we take that perspective? Because you have this Army Ranger experience that you'll be better at fighting the immigration issue across the border.
I think that's a non sequitur. The two are not necessarily connected to each other. The closest comparison.
I see them linked together when I'm reading stuff, and that's how it comes across to me.
I think it's more national security with a better understanding of overall national security. Now, the border is a humanitarian issue. It's a local law enforcement issue. It's a national security issue. So in that regard, I am the most qualified of the candidates to address that. But with the border, we have to actually work together as a body in Congress to address that issue. It's, we've had 9 million people come across in the last 3 years. If you look at the population of the U.S. Individual states, that's more than the population of 36 of our states. That is not sustainable. I understand that there are people that are trying to come across because of their living situation back in their home countries. But I honestly feel that the first act of coming into the U.S. to get a better life should not be by breaking the law. And the byproduct of that is there are hundreds of thousands of people that are trying to follow our immigration process the right way that are not able to advance it because those same people that are supposed to be processing those forms are in-processing those that have done it the wrong way coming across the border. Now, we're talking about local law enforcement and national security. You talked to, well, you've got it up on your sign out here, the fentanyl crisis in the U.S. 99% of that's coming across the border with Mexico. Now, we know it's coming from China. It's working with the cartels. The mules are carrying it across. But that's where a vast majority of it's coming from. So it's not crazy to say we ought to have a protected border as a nation. I mean, if you don't have a border, then you really don't have a nation.
It's ICE, from what I understand, talking to local officials. Uh-huh. ICE, if somebody local, one of our local law enforcement does arrest someone who they determine is is here illegally, you know, they'll notify ICE, and ICE says, all right, well, you know, you just caught them for shoplifting, so you can't hold them too much longer till we can actually verify this, and then they typically get let go. I mean, I imagine it's a pretty sizable number where that happens, but what can happen to change that? Do we need to change that? Should that still be allowed? And it's not a new thing. I mean, for whatever reason, in the last 3-4 years, we're seeing more numbers, but this is not a new thing. I mean, ICE has had that rule, I want to say, since 97. I think there was a law in 97 that was that attached that, but this has happened, you know, for many, many years.
Yeah, well, the difference is the policy at the federal level influences how well it's enforced, and the budgeting at the federal level determines how many people that are actually hired by ICE to do their job. And
that's what's stopping it. Number of people, we can't deal with this because we don't have enough people.
We don't
right
have
now.
Enough people. You don't have it budgeted to have enough people, and we don't have if you talk to a lot of these ICE officials, and they'll be honest with you, as administrations change, as the federal policy changes, their degree of enforcement changes.
Do you think that the Republican-led House wants to end this year? Like, have they wanted to actually end this the last 2 years? I mean, to at least make steps to slow down the immigration, the illegal immigration? Because it seems like they've had opportunities. Both sides mm-hmm. have had opportunities in that discussion. But it feels like right now nobody really wants to make that big effort. Just want to have something to complain about for the rest of the year.
Are you asking me, is there politics going on in politics?
Is there politics going on in politics?
I assume there is. And it frustrates me on both sides. If we're supposed to be entrusted by the people to do the work of the people, then we shouldn't play games with it.
But what can change next year? What can change in the year 2015? If we expect nothing will be done really this year, what can change in 2015 to fix this?
Well, I'll be in Congress, so we'll see what difference we can make.
And that, you know, and I guess when we do these interviews and talk to these candidates, we get the idea of what, you know, what you feel and what your belief is and what your interest, but just how do you convince me that one person's going to make that kind of difference?
One person can't. And so that's one of the things that you should take into mind when you talk to anybody in any elected office. And unless they're running for dictator, one person doesn't make a difference. The one person has to have the ability to work with others that have a like mind to actually, and I'm going to say work with, to actually work. Because right now, part of what it looks like from the outside is you got a lot of people that want to scream about problems, but none of them that really want to find, identify, and execute on solutions. That takes work. Anybody can go up there and just scream. But to actually get together with other people to develop an idea to solve solutions, that's a lot of hard work because it's a lot of research. It's a lot of dealing with people that may not see things 100% the way you do. But if they see it 95% of the way you do, that's still an A. You know, that we've gone away from the Reagan mantra of, you know, was it somebody who agrees with me 80% of my time is not 20% my enemy? It's 80% my friend. You know, I just butchered that phrase, whatever that was. But
we'll re-quote you with that. We'll say Mike Dugan said.
Yeah.
And use that one.
So I'll own that one. But you got to work together. It's not an all or nothing thing.
That's ideal.
That seems
so simple to me. I mean, that's what's frustrating to me more than anything. It seems like we're going back and forth and depends on what outlet you're getting that information from. You're more mad at this one than the other one. But, I mean, this group is up there right now, and we all agree it's an issue.
Well, and you get that with so you're going to compromise your principles. No. Your principles are your bedrock that everything else stems from. But principles and policies are not the same things. Just because you go in with a set view of what a policy ought to be, are you sure you've got all the right answers? are you so sure that you won't listen to another person's point of view to see if there's something they have that can add value to the policy that you're trying to fix?
In saying that, does that give you pause thinking about your potential constituency with the 15 counties? Did you say something like that? Well, I'm willing to listen to, I mean, are you suggesting you're willing to listen to other ideas and work together like that?
It has not been negative so far.
Okay.
There's a lot of people that are saying, this is crazy the way we've gone. We're tired of just people screaming. We want people to work.
Mike Dugan, our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. And before we do take our final break, would you support, if you were in Congress right now, would you support an immigration bill that that got you the majority of what you wanted or that you supported, but then also sent money to the Ukraine or Israel in the same bill?
So they staggered. You did it out of sequence for me. The wall first, and then an improved immigration bill. They can't happen at the same time. If you think there's a mass exodus, or it wouldn't be an exodus, a mass entry into the U.S. now, tell people that you're going to reinforce the wall, and at the same time you're doing immigration reform. That would be catastrophic for both those trying to get across and the U.S. Finish the wall first, secure the border. However you do it, and the wall is just the most obvious example, and then comprehensive immigration reform after that's done.
Is there already money waiting on the wall? I mean, is there money out there to finish the wall?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, of course, you can print it up. But I mean, is there as far as...
It was funny when I was out there. I don't know if you got to go to break or not, but when I was out there, they said, so do you want to see the wall? And I said, yes. And they said, do you want to see the Bush wall, the Obama wall, or the Trump wall? So three different administrations have been trying to secure our southern border. What I didn't hear was the Biden wall. And a matter of fact, one of the things that frustrates me so much with this administration is when the states tried to, help solve the issue on their own, it's not they were not supported by the federal government. They were actually opposed by the federal government. That's just crazy to me.
Time right now is 8:32. My guest this morning is Mike Dugan. He is one of six candidates on the ballot for the third congressional district seat, 15 counties. Do you know them all offhand?
I do. You want me to go through
them? Yeah, roll them out. Go ahead.
So we'll start in the north. You got Harrelson County, Carroll County, Heard County, Troop County, Harris County, Muskogee County. Then you come over to the top right-hand side. You got the western half of Douglas. You come down to Fayette. You got Spalding. You got a little bit of Henry. You've got Upson, Pike, Lamar, Meriwether, did I say Muskogee? Coweta.
Did you say Carroll?
I said Carroll.
I don't know. All right. Time right now is 8:43. We're going to take our first break, come back, and continue our conversation with Mike Dugan. Again, if you have any questions or comments, please post those to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, and I will do my best to share them during this program. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
The Entrepreneur Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined, curriculum-based track to acquire essential knowledge and skills for success in business and leadership. Critical areas include identifying entrepreneurial characteristics, selecting a value position, and business model development. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Hey, 44. Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice, News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. My name is Colin Worthington. My guest is Mike Dugan, one of six candidates running for Congress to represent District 3, which does include Carroll County and Heard County. And is it all of Douglas County or just a bit?
Just the western half.
Western half of Douglas County. And I'm just picking those out because they're our most immediate counties. Cali.
Well, Harrelson.
Yeah. Well, I said Harrelson, didn't I?
I thought you said Heard. I'm sorry.
Oh, that may have said Heard. All right. Heard, Harrelson, Coweta.
See, I actually listened to you.
I appreciate it. Well, thank you, sir. That's good. I'll mark that down at 14 minutes in the program. All right, rate on a scale the job performance that Drew Ferguson as House Rep has done? Scale of five.
Scale of five? Probably a, and I think he would probably give himself this, about a 3.5.
And why? What's he, and is it important? Because, I mean, I've looked, and I think there's no bill, something else that just, you know, when you see people put out press releases, like, hey, here's a bill that I put out, and it's just kind of a, you know, to get your attention, but then it has no chance ever to go through the House. I don't think he's sponsored a bill that has been approved in Congress, that has been selected. And I don't know if that's important to you or anybody else. Yeah. But yeah, why would you even give him that half mark?
I'm thinking a lot of the positive he gets is for his constituent services here within the district. You know, anytime somebody's got a VA issue or a Social Security issue or a passport issue, and they call their local representative or senator, we have to engage with them oftentimes, and they are very responsive and reactive. People short sell the importance of constituent services here. You can't. I mean, that's half of the job. I think Drew was good at articulating a position. I think, you know, whether you agree with every one of them or not, he didn't come back with a like mom or dad response and just say, well, just because I did. He had thought out his answer. I think one of the differences between he and I is I've got no intent on trying to run for leadership in Congress. That changes some of the ways that you
And it's good. Well, then how do we know if you, I mean, you know, just because of our media, I mean, how do we know if you're doing, you know, a great job then after 2 or 4 years to compare you if you're not in some leadership position or if you're not as loud as the congressperson to the north?
Oh,
I mean, that's why those Well, I mean, those constituents, you know, rightly or wrongly so, feel like she is supporting them because she is in, you know, the news all the time because she's speaking out against something, you know, whether it's right or not. But, I mean, how do we look back at your role after 2 years or 4 years and say, well, okay, Mike is doing a good job? How would we make that decision?
First of all, my primary responsibility is to represent the people of the 3rd District. So whether it be transportation, whether it be farm-related aid, because, you know, we don't think of agriculture that much in the 3rd District, but we're the number one producer of cattle here. We're, what, top five in poultry and one of the leadings in grass, whether it be hay or sod. We don't talk about the farm assistance coming in, and that's always argued about in D.C. So take care of the citizens here first. And if you're doing that, then they'll know that you're responsive. The second thing is be present when you're here. That don't hide away. Go to, and I've already talked to in each of the counties that we've gone to, a plan for moving forward after elected of how we're going to maintain engagement, whether it be me or whether it be a staff, where we don't have simply a central office that people have to come to, but individuals that go to
regions. How much could you do it? I mean, I think the staff, obviously very important and has your ear. It's good to meet those, but people want to be able to talk to their, you know, and sometimes, I mean, it's not always going to be a comfortable conversation, but I mean, don't you think you have to do that at least a few times every year, have these sit-downs with other groups other than, you know, locked door supporters? I mean, to talk to the average Joe that has an issue.
I feel like that's a T-ball question because you know very well that that I don't avoid uncomfortable conversations with groups who don't necessarily agree with my reasoning or my votes. But regardless of how they feel, I still represent them. I don't just represent the ones that I agree with all the time. I represent every member of the 3rd District, even those that are still in grade school. You know, you're still responsible for all them. So you engage.
I wrote this one out, so hopefully it makes sense as I do try to read it. Now, Congress has been able to follow its own appropriations process consistently since, like, the mid-90s. I mean, what's laid out as far as that process. Senate passed a $1.2 trillion package in spending bills last month. That's nearly 6 months into the budget year. That'll push any threats of government shutdown after the fall, you know, pushing it away again for a little bit. Conservative Republicans routinely demand, you know, steep spending cuts, willing to shut down the government to make changes, and big reductions in government programs and services that are important to their constituents back home. I mean, you won't have the omnibus if it comes up you know, later on this fall, but you may be faced with that again. How would you approach that? I mean, do you speak out and demand that, no, we got to fix this?
No,
we can't keep pushing it away.
I've been saying that multiple times during the last few months is we actually do have to, you know, we look at the Georgia process. The Georgia process is we have to balance it every year. Now, I know that that's almost an impossibility at the federal level. But there are steps within the way we do it that we could replicate there, where you go through and you look at areas that have been determined sacrosanct over the years. You got to ask the question, why? And you go back through each line and go, look at the have-tos and the want-tos. And we're getting to a point with the interest on our debt. If you got the three stacks of money, you've got the non-discretionary funds, you got discretionary funds, and you have the debt repayment. Before too much longer, the debt repayment is going to be higher or a greater portion than the non-discretionary funds, or the discretionary funds, I'm sorry. But people forget that the discretionary funds includes funding for the military. So we can't, unless we go through the entire process and look at each thing and are willing to get fired from our job because we're doing the right thing and looking at cutting spending that is, you know, once you start a program, you can't ever get rid of it. But we need to look at it.
852, Mike Dugan, my guest, candidate for 3rd District in Congress, representing 15 counties in West Georgia. We'll take our final break and come back and hopefully have about 7 minutes with Mike as we conclude our program. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System and Oak Mountain Academy.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
All right, 852, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice program. I'm going to try and throw in a few questions here before we wrap up our show with Mike Dugan, candidate for Congress to represent District 30. John Armstrong has checked in. He says, which committees would you be interested in serving on in Congress?
Thank you, John. It's and I've been asked that a couple times before, and surprisingly, it's a pretty frequent question. But the three that I've told them that I would really like to be considered for are, in order, Appropriations, Ag, and the House Armed Services Committee. You know, the Appropriations is because a lot of people don't want to do that work that's involved with it, and they stay away from it. And we need people that are interested in actually, like we've talked about a couple times during the show, Dovellis and Solutions, Ag, because like what I talked about a little while ago with the high amount of Ag and the imports of Ag within the 3rd District, and then the House Armed Services is, I guess, would be obvious because of my background.
I would have thought, there's a ladder too. That time right now is 8:53. Now this, I thought we were kind of done discussing this, but you did an event in Atlanta about 2 weeks ago, and the question, there's five candidates, and they asked you guys to raise your hand. I want to make sure I phrase it accurately. It was a pretty generic question, but it was like, was Donald Trump the rightful winner of the 2020 election? All five candidates did put their hands up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to judge how you put your hand up or, you know, didn't enthusiastic and jump up like me, sir. But you did raise your hand to suggest that you believe he's the rightful winner of the 2020
election.
Yeah,
he worded that differently than was it stolen. And I told somebody in a response that asked me this the other day as well. So 2020, we had the pandemic. There were a lot of executive decisions to change the way we voted in Georgia without legislative approval. We had drop boxes that were in portions of the state and cherry-picked areas within the state in which they were. They were, as opposed to now where they're in all 159 counties, you can't have different election systems in Georgia by law and one county than you do in another county.
Is that a new law or is that
old? No, that came from Senate Bill 202.
Okay.
So you had the mass mailing of unrequested absentee ballots. That was in opposition to the Georgia code, Georgia law at the time. Should not have happened. These were executive decisions that were made because of the pandemic. So if you add all these different things up with the peculiarities that were going on around that stemmed from the pandemic, if they were not there, then I think President Trump would have won Georgia. They were there. They were there, and 2020 has passed, and we have tightened up all the laws since that time. We did the massive overhaul 202 in 2021 to tighten up the security but ease the access, and they just tweaked it again this last session. And it's like any law. You're going to continue to refine it as you move ahead. But, yes, I think that without the actions taken during the pandemic, that Trump probably would have won.
But why would that fail or favor one group as opposed to another?
The mechanism at the time, remember, this is the same group that 2 years prior said that that Georgia elections were rigged. It was on the other side of it at the time. They put together a machine, and that's why I'm not saying stolen. I'm saying they took the opportunities that happened because of the pandemic to sway the election and the favorite they wanted. I just don't think that we should have taken all the executive decisions that we did.
But I don't say party, because not necessarily a party is voting for a candidate, but I mean, only one group was, mischievous enough to do that. But only one group, it seems like only one group had that. I mean, for that, in that theory, to me, it seems group had that initiative.
Well, they were very organized coming out. I'll give them that. And I think anybody denies that is not paying attention to what they did. But it's easier to be organized and compliant when some of the tools are stacked in your favor. If you look at the Dropbox locations, just go pull them back up for 2020. They're not in red areas of the state. They are all in blue areas.
The Dropbox locations, those had, and I remember you saying that the Dropbox, as you and I sat here with our masks on in 2020, 2021, mm-hmm. The Dropbox locations, they had, I mean, they were under surveillance as opposed to maybe some random, this is, our conversation. I mean,
they were supposed to be under surveillance.
As opposed to, like the post offices. Yeah. It's like, why would they pick those sites as opposed to, the ones that probably aren't as monitored as much?
Well, they weren't under surveillance. I think if we go back and look, they were supposed to be under surveillance. That was the requirement at the time, and then found out that they weren't. The Dropbox is now, the change that we made, and I think that may be what you're referring to, are under surveillance, and they're also secured at night. So they're still available. But there was potential, and I'm being very, very careful for all kinds of reasons how I answer this, but there was extreme potential for ballot harvesting and dumping in drop boxes at that time.
Time right now is 8:59. Mike, you got 30 seconds. Give me your website and your Facebook, and are you sending out any more mailers?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, y'all. Well, you're going to get some more mailers. You're going to get more TV. You're going to get more social media ads. If you go to votemikedugan.com, you can see in greater detail all the information that we can't cover in a 30-minute radio show.
Yeah, and it's on the website. I mean, I try to avoid the specific comments and give the opportunity just to quote those websites, because those websites aren't
absolutely
there.
Thank you.
Mike, thank you for coming out this morning.
Appreciate you. It's always good to see you.
You as well. Early voting continues tomorrow and today and next week. And next week on Monday's Community Voice and Tuesday's Community Voice, we have scheduled two more Republicans in this race. So hope you tune in for those programs at 8:30 here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Enjoy your weekend.